Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello and welcome to 3TFM's Holy Half Hour with me, the Reverend Alec Noble of Saltcoats North Parish Church. Normally, we talk and listen to music on a theme. Tonight, for a change, let's focus on a place. Let's go in our imagination to a warm, sunny place. For example, to the capital of Spain, to Madrid. I'd like to whisk you off to Madrid for half an hour on a flight of the imagination, so that I can share with you the amazing lessons I learned there, so that you can benefit from my wife and I's experiences. So to put us in a Spanish mood, here is some Spanish guitar music. Not just any Spanish guitar music. Probably the most famous piece of all, Rodrigo's Guitar Concerto, composed by Joaquim Rodrigo and played by Alfredo López Rey.
Thank you.
I'm very keen on football, so is my wife. So I went with Patricia to a very special place for the two of us, to the Bernabeu Football Stadium, the home of Real Madrid. This was Mecca for us. It's a huge stadium. It's bigger than Ibrox or Parkhead. It seats 70,000 people. It's layer upon layer, and from the top, the players on the pitch look tiny. When you think of Real Madrid's history and all the famous players that have played for it, there's folk like David Beckham, Ruud van Nistelrooy, Michael Owen, Raul, Ronaldo, Figo, Zinedine Zidane, Carlos Alberto, and if you go back far enough, Di Stefano, Puskas. It's a who's who of football. In their museum, there are lots of golden balls, golden footballs, awarded to the best players in the world, and Golden Boot Awards, given to the highest goal scorers in the world. They have in the museum 9 European Cups. That's the most that any club has ever won. They also had 2 UEFA Cups, World Championship for Clubs Cups, the Spanish Cups, and so on. The first film of a football match I ever saw was the European Cup final held in Hamden, where Real Madrid had 7 goals and Eintracht Frankfurt 3 goals. It was an amazing game. So you can imagine, it was a very special trip for myself and Patricia. We were at Mecca, on holy ground. In fact, we weren't even allowed to touch the grass. This was the real thing. By the way, I found out what real means in Spain. It means royal. So it's Royal Madrid, the king's team. Real Madrid began as local lads getting together. They built up the club over 100 years, and they had the highest standards of excellence, and they gained royal approval. They have the best players. According to FIFA, they are officially the best club ever. Now consider this thought. We are a team. Whether we're talking about our family, the congregation, our community, our country, or the world, we seek royal approval. We'd like to be God's team, Jesus' team. We seek high standards too. We're trying to build something special. The kingdom of God in the three towns here. It's the real thing. Not Coca-Cola, it's not the real thing. And not even Real Madrid is the real thing, it's just a football team. But let's work and train hard together to be God's best team ever. Now let's hear some more amazing Spanish guitar music. This is Recuerdos de la Alhambra, composed by Francisco Tarriga and played by Alfredo López Rey. Thank you. My wife and I went to visit the royal palace of King Juan Carlos. It was our third attempt to visit it, in fact. The first attempt failed because King Carlos was coming home from somewhere. The second attempt failed because there was a huge queue of mad dogs and Englishmen out in the midday sun. So we went home for a siesta and then we returned later. So about 3:45 p.m. we set off once again for the royal palace. We went by underground. It was very busy. As we stepped on board the train, there was a bit of pushing and jostling. Suddenly, I felt a hand in my trouser pocket, touching my wallet. I realised in the nick of time what was happening. I was being pickpocketed. I put my hand into my pocket and won the tug of war for the prized wallet. Well, after all, I am an Aberdonian. I shoved him across the carriage and I shouted, "Police! Thief!" As I scrunched up his T-shirt, up his back, and pushed him away, I realised that he was bigger than me. We also think he had an accomplice, but his accomplice turned away. So what could I do or say? We were facing each other, but we were stuck with each other until the train was going to stop at the next station. I said, "España," and pointed at him. "Shame on you, Spaniard, bringing shame on Spain." I was hoping to evoke some shame on him, and I was hoping to arouse some support from the other passengers. It worked only to the extent that a lady in her late 60s spoke to us in Spanish at the next station, to the effect that he was a gypsy, a Romanov, not a real Spaniard. "Don't tar all us Spaniards with the same brush. Spanish people are nice, really," she was trying to say. One or two passengers signed to me that he was a needle-injecting drug addict, but I don't think he was. When we got to the palace, there was a busker playing the guitar in a Spanish style. He was sheer magic. It was a very special moment. It was perfect sunny weather, over 25 degrees centigrade. There was a clear blue sky providing the backdrop to the huge white royal palace. We were on holiday. We were in Spain. The Spanish flag wafted lazily in the soothing breeze. And here was an expert playing Spanish guitar music. We had to buy a CD, which we play to you now. It was a magic holiday moment. Why can't pickpockets learn to play the guitar instead? That was Alfredo López Rey playing Romance Anónimo. Isn't he excellent? The Spanish palace too is all about excellence. It's immense in size, at least as big as Buckingham Palace. It's so grand and ornate inside. There was a huge stairway with colonnades, painted ceilings and chandeliers and goldwork and silver work of the finest craftsmanship. It had a dining table which just went on and on and on. It was full of priceless works of art. It's not everybody's cup of tea, especially when you know that the wealth came by plundering Central and South America, but you have to concede that all the workmanship is in pursuit of excellence. On the way back home on the underground, there was a crowd again. We stepped into a busy carriage, and a woman about my own age caught my eye. I smiled a little sheepishly. I don't smile at every woman, by the way. It's just, you know, when you get squeezed in the underground, your eyes meet and you sort of sheepishly smile. Suddenly, Patricia shouted out, "Hey, thief, pickpocket!" While smiling into my eyes, she was pickpocketing Patricia. Cool as you like. This was the second time in just over 2 hours we'd been pickpocketed. The woman pleaded ignorance, but I suggested to Patricia to photo her with the mobile phone. As soon as she pointed the mobile phone at her, she turned away and pushed her way down the carriage. No, the public did not do anything. She had failed to steal anything. Well, my wife's an Aberdonian too. But she come very close. We went for a lovely Italian pizza after that, served by a German woman, who now owns the pizza shop with her Spanish husband. After that, we went to the theatre next door to see live flamenco dancing for the first time. The star of the show was Belén López, one of Spain's most famous flamenco dancers. She started at the age of 5 years old. By seven, she was dancing on the television. I mean, in the television, not on it. She was great. We came out with our feet tapping the rest of the evening. In fact, I find myself tapping away yet in spare moments. It was like Irish dancing, tap dancing. It was brilliant. She must be the best in the world at what she does.
Primavera, los pajarillos cantan. Yo no quiero vivir sin ella, porque los celos me matan. ¿Quién será esa niña? La niña de mi sueño, que me roba los besos se parece. ¿Quién será esa niña? La niña de mi sueño, que me roba los besos y me hace llevo dentro de mí. Y ella es mi vida entera, contenta y feliz, ay, me quedo con ella. Me quedo con ella, ay, me quedo con ella. ¿Quién será esa niña?
That was Ya Elega La Primavera a Vanessa, composed and sang by Andrés Fernández Amador. Now, I'm sharing all this with you for a reason, because this is a parable. It was a typical day in Madrid. It was a typical day in our daily lives. In our daily lives, we have ups and downs, joys and sorrows, laughter and tears, of magic moments interspersed with tragic sins. Most folk think of themselves as being in the middle somewhere. We're not as low life as the pickpockets, but we're not kings and palaces, Spanish guitar experts, or world famous flamenco dancers. We're a mixture of good and bad and average. We surprise ourselves sometimes with our high achievements. We surprise ourselves sometimes with our bad behaviour. Most days it's unsurprisingly average. No matter where we stand, the question facing all of us is, Which way are we facing? Do we face towards sin and mediocrity, or do we face towards goodness and excellence? It's like two trains in a station facing in opposite directions. They're quite close together at that point, but their destinations are very far apart. And the question also is, how far have we travelled? Are you striving for excellence? And how are you getting on? Are we growing, progressing, improving, becoming more and more Christ-like, pleasing God or dishonouring him? St. Paul was very strong in this thought. He writes to the Thessalonians, "There are some people among you who live lazy, useless lives and do nothing except meddle in other people's business. But you, brothers and sisters, must not get tired of doing good." He writes to Timothy, "Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and are caught in the trap of many foolish and harmful desires, which pull them down to ruin and destruction. But you, man and woman of God, avoid all these things. Strive for righteousness and godliness and faith and love and endurance and gentleness. Run your best in the race of life." "I have done my best," says Paul, "in the race of life. I've run the full distance. I've kept the faith." Paul says, "I've done my best in the race of life, I've run the full distance, I've kept the faith." We actually saw the Madrid Marathon, and we spoke to a runner who just completed it. He was so happy with himself, quiet satisfaction of having achieved it. How will it be for us when we get to the end of this life and God speaks to us? Will we be able to echo Paul's sentiments, "I've run the race and kept the faith"? Are we following in Jesus' way? Our image of Madrid or Spain, of human beings, changed over the course of that day's events. We had a high view, a low view, a high view again. It was a very mixed bag. Madrid's reputation, like stocks and shares, went up and down with the day. It was in the hands of one or two individuals. The guitar player made us glad to be in Madrid. The pickpockets made us wish we hadn't come. The flamenco dancer raised our spirits again. In the same way, one or two people can always influence people's perception of whole groups. Folks say, "If they're Christians, I'd like to meet their God." Or, "If they're Christians, I don't want anything to do with their religion." The corporate dimension is very important, as well as the individual aspect. In Spain, individual people helped us a lot. Not everybody, but most people were most helpful. They even helped us before we asked for help, which was very good. Although in Spain, the system sometimes failed us. There weren't leaflets of where to go for tourist sites, and the signposting was quite poor. In church life, individuals can do a lot, although some could do more. And in corporate life, the congregation does a lot, although some people could do more again. So let us resolve individually and corporately to work to build the kingdom of God. Each of us is an ambassador for God, for good or ill. It's quite a responsibility. Each of us is a promoter of the kingdom of God, or else we're a drawback. Each of us is a vital piece in the jigsaw, or else we're that gap, the missing piece. The whole group is very weakened by any one person not pulling their weight. That's true in every walk of life. We're called by God to build his kingdom, to contribute our little contribution. The Great Barrier Reef's the biggest thing in the world, and it's built little by little, incrementally, as you build on what you've got. So with the kingdom of God. It's built on continuous, never-ending improvement, bit by bit. The most successful coach ever at American football never spoke to his team about winning, only about improving. His point was, if you improve bit by bit, day by day, it's only a matter of time before you're the best in the world. Jesus doesn't expect unrealistic things of all of us together or each of us individually. He just invites us to follow him and grow and improve day by day, little by little. Bye for now. See you again next week.